535. Do me, I'm in
the way, the light shining way, I'm in
the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus says today, yes, I'm in the glory land way, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Let's to the call, the gospel call today, get in the glory land way. Wonders come home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in his love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. Good evening. It's good to see everybody here tonight. We certainly want to thank you for being here, for your interest in learning music and in learning how to praise your God better and better. We started with a song that was written to remind us of who we are and what we're about and the way that we're supposed to be walking on, the Glory Land way. This is an older song. And I will tell you that I'm kind of an in-between guy. I like a lot of newer songs. I like a lot of older songs. This is a song with a lot of energy, with a good message, but it's a message of teaching. And that's something else that music does. It's not just for the purpose of praising God, but it's also for the purpose of teaching us a message. And especially our older songs have a lot of doctrinal messages in them. And so we want to remind everyone that as we're learning music this week, a great deal and amount of our focus is on learning to praise God and learning music, but don't lose the fact that it's about the words and it's about the fact that our heart is connected to those words and that our heart is in the words. We understand what we're singing, we mean what we're singing, and that it touches our hearts as we sing. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of songs have a message that reminds us and convicts us. Sometimes it comforts us. Sometimes it encourages us. But there's a lot to be gained out of song other than the primary reason of praising God. We mentioned this psalm last night, Psalms 147 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. In the book of James, chapter 5, as James began to talk about the various states of man and the various dispositions of man, he says, is any among you merry, that is happy or cheerful? He said, let him sing psalms. And I enjoy singing. I hope that you enjoy singing. I think singing is fun. A lot of people don't feel that way. That's okay. There might be something wrong with you, but that's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I just enjoy music, and I enjoy singing, and I hope that you enjoy the week this week, and I hope that we do have some fun. We went really fast last night trying to cram about 2 hours of material into an hour, and what we're going to do is over the rest of the week, all the concepts that we kind of introduced last night, we're going to slow down and break some of those down so that we might be able to grasp the concepts a little bit greater. And tonight we're going to focus on rhythm, but we want to do a little bit of review. So we're going to take this psalm and we're going to sing it as a song like we did last night. I'll remind you of the melody. If you remember the melody, then sing along with me. Otherwise, I'll be singing a solo, and that's okay. We'll sing it through twice. Do, mi, so, do, so. Do, mi, so, do, so, mi, do. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. Praise the Lord, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Should have kept the first pitch, shouldn't I? Got a little high, but y'all stuck with it. Okay, so one of the things that we've been trying to do is learn what the shapes sound like. And not just be able to know that a triangle is a do or et cetera, but also know when we see that shape that it has a distinct sound in relation to whatever key the song is in. And so this particular song starts out with kind of our rudimentary notes for most major keys, or for all major keys. Our rudiment notes are do, mi, so, and do, okay? So we want to know what those sound like. And one of the reasons that we want to know what those sound like as song leaders is because most of our songs start on one of those three notes when it's in a major key. There's some variation, but typically our major keys are going to start out with that. So if we can find do in the song, and maybe it starts with a so, if we can kind of figure out where that needs to be, we can pitch our song for the various parts. So, do mi so do. Praise the Lord for, so that's do mi so mi do. Or again, as we mentioned last night, the Star Spangled Banner starts out with so mi do. So if you can't remember this, well, remember that, because that's a very familiar tune that we all remember the sounds of. Once again, our focus this week is learning how to read a roadmap. You know, probably a lot of our young people, if you put a big roadmap, the old roadmap, there's going to be certain symbols on there that they're not accustomed to. And I say young people, I've gotten very lazy. I remember when I first started holding gospel meetings, I'd go to some place I'd never been, I'd get out the map, and I'd kind of draw out a route and then write directions down. And now I just get in the car and punch it in on my maps and just let it roll. And so, you know, you don't use something like that. You become unfamiliar with it. And there may be things that you look at that you say, I don't remember what that means. And you look at it a while and you go, oh, okay, that's what that means. So that's kind of our purpose this week. For some of you who know music, this is a reminder of what the map looks like. And for some of you who have never read a road map, well, that's what we're going to look at this week. We're going to try to learn to read the road map of music. And tonight we're going to do some exercises that will help us do that toward the end of our session, where we're going to kind of look at some directions within the map that we see in certain songs. And so stay tuned for that, because if somebody gets up and starts leading a song and you get across the page and then you go, where'd they go? That's what we're going to try to help you with, okay? So you'll know where to go as well. Sorry, clicked the wrong button again. This is called our grand staff. It's made up of a treble clef section and a bass clef section, typically for the melody in the women's voices and for the men's voices. That's not to say that some men might not sing alto or some ladies might not sing tenor. I don't hear a whole lot of basses in the ladies' register, but that does happen from time to time. But It helps us to know what part we're singing, depending on whether our voice is high or low. And if you see this bracket here, this isn't really typically something we need to know. This is more instrumental music. But just know that the top section and the bottom section are part of one unit, okay? They're not necessarily two separate scales or two separate staffs. They're all part of one staff, which together is called the grand staff, okay? Because there's some pieces of music that don't have a bass clef section, or they may not have a treble clef section, depending on whether it's instrumental. If you played in band and you played certain instruments, you'll know that maybe you just had a bass clef or a treble clef section. But together, they make what's called the grand staff. And there's a space in the middle of this staff that's made up of lines and spaces for the lyrics or the words. And you'll see that in your songbooks. If you look on the page that we just looked at on 535, you're going to see that between this treble and this bass section are the lyrics to the song. And that's the space for the words. In our specific books, our hymns, our hymnals rather, we have different sections of music for the sopranos, which is the high voices, the altos, which is the lower voices for the ladies. And then we have our high voices for the men, which is called tenor, and our low for the basses. And most of you are going, yeah, we know all this. Well, that's good. I'm glad you know that. And it's good to know that, especially if you're not sure what part you are. Maybe get with the elders and ask them to help you figure that out. You're welcome, Barry, Daryl. I want you to grab your songbook with me and turn over to 538. Just flip the page across there. And I want to answer some questions tonight that I've had throughout the years during this. And one of those questions that I've been asked, especially in four-part harmony, is, why is it that sometimes it doesn't look like this? There's not a line going up for the sopranos or one going down for the altos or tenor and bass exactly the same. Why is it that sometimes the lines go up and sometimes the lines go down? So let's talk about that for a minute, okay? Notice that our starting note is a so. They're on my, the word my. You've got a line going up and a line going down. Why is that? It's telling us that both alto and soprano are singing the exact same note. You see that a lot. If we're singing in unison, we're going to have a line going up and a line going down to tell us that both parts are singing the same, okay? Then on the next note, the lines both go up. Well, that's weird, isn't it? Well, not necessarily. And the reason that the lines go up is because the notes are lower in the staff. You see that? Because they're lower on the staff, the lines go up. Then you get to the next note, okay? On built, the word built. And the highest note is way up on the scale, so they chose to put the line down. So it's more about organization than it actually is method on a lot of whether the lines go up or down. It just depends on whether the note's higher or lower. And sometimes there's a big variation between the altos and sopranos, and in those cases, the lines are always going to go down because the highest note is higher. On the bass section, if you look down there, it's going to be somewhat opposite. You're going to have more of your notes higher in that scale, and the lines more going down. Okay, so let's do a different song that has a little more variation. Turn to number 3. We looked at this song last night. Number 3, Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Here you've got a little more variation. If you look at the very end of the song, the bass actually ends on a very low note, and the tenor is more than an octave higher. And again, they chose to go down with the lines. But if you have other notes where there's low and the tenor's not as low, like right in the middle of your second page where it says, and his glory, and you drop down there to the bass section where the bass and the tenor are going, and his glory is exalted, okay? Notice that here you still have the same bass note that's low, that low do, but the tenor drops way down to a so which way does the line go? It goes up. So if that's an explanation that will be helpful, I hope that it is. Because sometimes people got stuck on that and went, well, I'm confused where I'm supposed to be, okay? Well, here's something to think about. Whatever note is lower, you're the bass. whatever note, whatever shape there is higher, you're the tenor. And I don't see many songs where the bass goes above the tenor. And they don't typically write harmonies that way. If the bass is up high, they're going to make the tenor even higher or in unison with the bass. Okay, like a song that we sung last night. Let's go to 23 real quick. We'll go through this quickly so we can move on. Page number 23, our God, He is alive. Okay? All right, look right where the refrain section is, right here in the middle of the page where it says, there is a God. Okay? Notice again, you've got lines going up and lines going down. So that's not just the bass. That means for this part of the song, the basses and the tenors are singing in unison. They're singing together. And that's quite common. And they put this in a range where both tenors and bass can sing. And if, you know, if the tenors can't hit this low of a register, most likely the song has been pitched too low, because they put this in what's called a baritone section, which is between the bass and tenor, so that all the male voices can sing it in unison. So there's a lot that goes in, a lot of method that goes in to writing a song and choosing where the notes go. It's not just random. They try to make it to where we can all sing it and sing it in our various parts. Now, there's a big difference in voices, and a lot of times to sing bass, you have to sing from really low, okay? From what's called your diaphragm. So if you're going to sing bass from your lungs, or we call it throaty, it's hard to sing bass going, there is a God. I mean, you don't have any power. You got to get your power from here to go, there is a God. Blowing the speaker out now. And it takes some practice to learn to sing from down low, okay, and not be what's called throaty with your voice. A lot of times high notes take a lot more air unless you're singing what's called your falsetto, which I'm not going to demonstrate that for you tonight. But that's where you can't sing for your diaphragm, because your vocal box actually won't let you. And so that might be a little more throaty. But by and large, we need to be singing from our diaphragm, because we can get more air from there and we can sing louder. Okay? So when I say sing loudly, I don't mean scream. And if you try to sing as loud as you can and it's throaty, it's going to sound more like screaming than singing. And so you practice singing from down here, okay? Fill your lungs up full of air like you're sucking through a straw, okay? That's what a choir teacher taught one day, was if you're trying to learn how to breathe and catch your air, well, don't go like this. Close your lips and go, and try to fill your lungs so you can sing for a lot longer time. And that'll be helpful to you if you struggle like I do to get enough air when you're singing, to really fill your lungs so you can sing without choking or having to go, which I will probably be doing some tonight. Okay, so let's, once again, we want to go through this exercise of showing the shape notes and teaching the shapes of the shape notes. Our root note in our songs, which tells us our key when we're in a major key, which is most of our songs, is do, and that is a triangle shape. Re is in the shape of a bowl, and think of it as a bowl of raisin bran, okay? Again, I know it's silly, but I don't care. Me, who wants a diamond? Me, okay? Remember it that way. Fa looks like a flag, fa, flag, fa. Fall looks like a flag shape. Soul looks like an oval. Soulful, oval, okay? Think of those. La looks like a couple of L's put together into a rectangle shape. And then T looks like a Wi-Fi shape that's been colored in. Or if you can't remember that, maybe it looks sort of like a snow cone with the old way they used to do the snow cones with the pointed little cups. And then you back to do, and there's just eight notes inside of what's called an octave, okay, just like octopus or octagon, octa meaning eighth. There's eight notes within an octave. One is lower, the other is a octave higher, okay? The same would be true if we went from a re to a re on the other side of the do, like what we see in this scale right here. We've got a re that goes to a re, a mi to a mi. That's one octave. There's eight notes there. So it's not just do to do. It's any note from one octave to the next. Okay, so Once again, before we talk about what these all sound like and we do some practicing, if you're at home and you've got a keyboard, and I'll tell you, keyboards are relatively inexpensive now. You can get one really cheap. And that wasn't the case when I was a kid. We paid several hundred dollars for a keyboard that won't do as much as our $30 keyboard that we've got now. But they really are. They're relatively cheap. And for our purposes, you don't necessarily have to have a good one. Ask your mom and dad about this before you do it. But one thing that might help you to start learning the sounds of these shape notes is to take a piece of masking tape and start taping it on C and put a piece of tape on every white key from one C to the next C, and then take your Sharpie and draw those shapes on the corresponding notes, okay? Then you can sit there and you can practice, and you can hit do, mi, so, or whatever. And your ear will become trained. People say, I can't learn what it sounds like. You can learn what it sounds like because it's just about repetition. It's like muscle memory, okay? The more you hear it, the more familiar you are with it, the easier it will be for you to see that and go, I know what that sounds like, okay? So that's the cheater way of learning. And I'm a cheater, again. I'm a cheater. I don't mind doing this. I don't mind having something to help me remember the sounds, and every time I do C instruction, I have to go back and relearn some of this because this isn't just like riding a bike. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So practice at home. Practice all year. Practice from time to time and work on these. I used to drive down the road in the pickup, and I'd sit there and sing the various notes in my head when I'm with the family and very loudly when I'm not. So But find a place to practice, okay? So let's do a little practicing here. We're going to do just like we did last night. We're going to go up the scale and then back down the scale. And don't worry about messing up. It may happen, but that's part of learning. All right.
Do, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, do, ti, la, so. Fa, mi, re, do, mi, so, do, so, mi, do, fa, do, so, do, ti, do, la.
From last night, remember the old commercial? In B, C, that's our sound. Do, la, fa.
Do, do, mi, re, fa, mi, so, fa, la, so, ti, la, do, ti. Re, do, do, la, ti, so, la, fa, so, mi, fa, re, mi, do, re, ti, do, la, ti, so.
Okay, we're getting kind of low now, aren't we? All right, y'all did very good, very good. A couple of those are tricky, aren't they? It seems like always la and ti are somewhat tricky until you hear me go, oh, that's what that sounded like. I remember that now. But okay. So we're going to go through this section once again because we're fixing to do some rhythm exercises. And rhythm, to me, is the hardest part of music. It may be pitch for you, but it's rhythm for me. And I know some people that can sit down with a piece of music and they can look through it and they'll go, okay, let's sing this song. And they'll sing the song. Timothy Fleming's one of those guys that can do that. Someone will say, hey, can we sing this? And he goes, I don't know that song. Let's learn it. And then he sings it. I can't do that. I've got to slow down. I've got to look at the rhythm. Sometimes I've got to count out the rhythm. And I'm going to show you some ways to count out rhythm tonight. So we're going to look at that. But let's start again with a foundation. So depending upon whether a note is colored in or whether it has what's called a stem, or sometimes people more crudely call it a stick, Or it has a flag on it, which is this little shape right here. That will tell you how long or how short we're going to hold the note out. So if we have a note that has no stem and it's hollow on the inside, that is what's called a whole note. And the reason it's called a whole note is because in 4/4 time it takes up the whole or the entire measure. Okay? If you've got a whole note inside of a 4/4 measure, you can't put anything else in it. Why? Because the whole measure is full. Then you've got a half note, which is the same as a whole note, except for it has a stem on it, which makes it half of that value. And so we halved the value of the whole by putting this stem on it. Well, now we've got a stem and we color it in, which halves it again to a quarter note. So these are just simple fractions that we're looking at, adding one little shape or one little shading every time to half the value. So we get to an eighth note, and it looks just like the quarter note, except for we put a flag on it. And then we put the flag on it, and guess what happens? It halves it again. It's really not anything that we can't anticipate that's happening. And so it makes it easier to be a language, because all we know is, oh, they added something else. Okay, and then we got a 16th note, which looks just like a quarter note with two flags. Okay, and so we've halved the quarter note twice and turned it into a 16th note. Now, a quarter note inside of 4/4 is going to get one beat. So if we're beating 4/4, once again, we're going 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're counting quarter notes. 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Very simple, isn't it? Okay, so we also have symbols in our songbooks that tell us not to sing. And those are called rests. And shocker, we rest when we see those. That's what we do. We do nothing. We just rest. In four-part harmony, this is extremely common because we have a lot of alternating parts, and sometimes the altos are singing one thing and everybody else is singing behind them or in the background of the alto section. Sometimes it's a bass lead, and we have them singing in the background. We just looked at the song, "There is a God, He is Alive." Well, while the basses are going, "There is a God," well, everybody else is doing what? Nothing. They're resting. And so it's not just blank. They actually put a marker in there to tell you, don't sing right here, okay? Now, I'm stressing this again because here in a moment when we do some of our rhythm exercises, you're going to see places in our rhythm exercises where it means don't sing here. And it's going to be hard for us not to sing there. You may be in disbelief right now, but trust me, when we get there, we're going to want to sing there for some reason. We just always want to sing there. But be paying attention to the rests. So we've got a whole rest, which takes up the whole measure, which looks like an upside-down hat, a half rest, which looks like a right-side-up hat, sort of a flat-top sombrero, if you will. And then you've got this quarter rest, which looks like this lightning bolt shape. Then an eighth rest looks like this sort of curly seven shape. And then if you have two of those, it's a 16th rest, which again is not extremely common, but can happen in some of our songs. So these are all equal value. And what I mean by equal value is this has the same amount as all 16 of these, all eight of these, all four of these, and those two half notes there are all the same as a whole note. The same goes with this. You'd have to actually mark it out with 16 of these 16th rests to make that. That's the reason why they mark it differently for different things, because you could have a piece of music that had so much language in it that it was confusing, okay? Now, for me, that's like reading German. I don't know why, but I see a German word and I go, okay, our English equivalent has three letters and yours has 26. Why? Why? Well, they tried to simplify music, and rather than just putting 16 of these, they go, let's come up with something to just put one marker. Oh, about the trip. One marker so that we can look at that and know that means the whole rest. Okay. Everything we do tonight as far as our practicing is going to be in 4/4 time, or what's called common time. And again, what this means is the time signature in a song is indicated by what looks like a fraction. See, they look like a fraction, but they're not a fraction, so don't get confused about that. They just look like it. And it tells us how the music is divided in time. The upper number is in the time signature indicates the number of beats in a measure, okay? So if we look at this top number, for instance, 3/4 time, that means we're going to have 3 beats per measure. So I wouldn't beat 3/4 time going 1, 2, 3, 4. I'd just go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And it sounds like a waltz or most of your old country songs. Like if you ever listen to the old Hank Williams, most of his songs are in a 3/4 time and they're do, 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 do. That's what the 3/4 sounds like. So that's what the top number means. That's how many beats are in between those two bar lines that make up what's called a measure. The bottom number tells us what note gets one beat. And so this is where you can think fractions, okay? If it's got a 4 at the bottom, that means a quarter note is going to get the one beat. If it's an 8, it means the 8th note is going to get one beat. And then sometimes you have a half note that gets one beat. Typically, when the half note gets one beat, the song is much slower. If it's an 8th note that gets one beat, it's much faster. There are exceptions to that, okay? But typically, that's the way it works. So, let's be interactive. That way you don't get completely tired and zoned in, and I'm not giving a lecture, and you're participating, and we're all practicing and learning. This is the best way to learn, is to be engaged. So, first off, I want to show you the way that these are counted out, okay? A whole note, if I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, the only time that we start singing, okay, that we start singing is on the 1. That's the end of that wall. Down is 1, 2, 3, 4. And where do we quit? After the 4, okay? So we're going to sing a whole note, okay? We'll start on 1. Don't start on 4. Watch me. Because I'm not going to start on 1, but don't start singing until 1, okay? Do off, okay? Let's try it one more time. Do off. Do off. Okay, so that's what the 1 is for, okay? If you're singing a whole note, you're going to start on 1, always. Because there's not any more notes within that measure except for that one note. So every whole note, that's easy, right? Easy to know you're singing on 1, okay? On a half note, we're going to be singing on 1 and 3 for our purposes. Now this one is not like the whole note. It could be anywhere within the measure. They may have an 8th note that precedes it, or they may have a dotted quarter note that precedes it. Who knows where we're going to start? You have to look at all the notes that are around it, look at the context to see where we're going to start. But we're going to start on 1. And 3. 1 and 3. Do, 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 off. Okay? Relatively easy. Quarter notes are the easiest because we're going to sing on every single beat. So we're going to sing on 1, 2, 3, and 4. So you ready? Do, 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 do. Okay, so here's the where it gets a little more complicated. When we get into 8th notes, we're not just singing on the wall of those counts, at the end of those counts, but we're also singing in between those counts. So rather than go 1, 2, 3, 4, we still want to keep the same tempo, okay, which is the speed, same tempo, but we're going to sing in between it. So we're actually going like this. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And do, 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 do. Okay? So we're singing on 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and. Then we get to 16th notes. We're going to go 1 E and 2 E and. Okay? Really quick notes. So we're going do 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 do. Y'all didn't sing that time. Y'all must have realized you sounded silly last night. It's okay for me to sound silly, right? So that's what they sound like. Now, that's in its simplicity. And if notes were all put together and they never had any variation, rhythm would be really easy. But we're going to mix it up a little bit. Now, we're going to start with something simple, okay? This one's very simple. So I'm going to count it out for you first, and then we're going to sing it, okay? So we're going to go like this. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? So 1, 3, 4. 1, 1, 2, 4. 1, 3, 4. Okay? All right, let's try it. Do, all together. Do, 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 do. Anybody mess up? Let's try it one more time. One more time, okay? Catch your breath. Talking to me. All right. Let's go on one. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Okay. A little easier? A little easier. Okay. Now let's mix it up a little bit. It's going to get harder and harder. It'll get much harder tomorrow night. But we'll practice this. And we're going to do some application here in a little bit. Okay, so this one, we're going to count it out again. And the first two notes are really easy. We're going to sing on one and two. And then when we get to the third count, we're going to go three and four. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 and 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. And 1, 2, 3, 4. One more time. 1, 2, 3, and 4. 1 and 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3, 4. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, let's try it. Do.
Do, 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 do.
Off. Very good. Okay, let's do it one more time.
Do, 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 do.
Very good. Okay. Now let's mix it up a little. Okay, so this is where it gets a little more complicated, but you look at this and you go, oh man, now we're going to sing on some half intervals and start on half intervals. Well, guess what? You do it all the time. You do it all the time. You just don't know you do it. And I'm going to show you where you do it in just a moment. But let's learn this sequence first, okay? So we're starting out with a pretty easy one. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1 and 2, 3. Oops. What's that? 1 and 2 and 3, 4. That's kind of confusing, isn't it? Because we're actually going to start the second note on the half beat of the one. So we're not going to start here or here. We're going to start between here and here, okay? So, trust me, it's not that difficult. We'll pick it up in just a moment. We got this sequence twice in this exercise, but I've got it reversed, okay? So we're going to come out of 2/8 notes into a 3/8 note and then go to a quarter note, which is 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, okay? One more time. 1, 2, 3, 4 and 1 and 2 and 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Okay, let's try it together. If I mess up, don't follow the leader. Just kidding, but I may mess up.
Do on one. Do 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 do. Do, 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 do,
So let's try one more time.
Do, 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 do.
Okay, so when you hear it, you can repeat it, right? So if you didn't hear it, though, how would you know what it sounds like? So I'm going to give you a way to remember, okay? We're talking about this sequence right here where we're eighth note, quarter, eighth note, okay? So let's say we were starting on one and counting it out. And instead of going one, two, three, four, we were actually going one and two and three and four, okay? So we go do, 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 okay?
Do, 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 one and two and, do, do, do.
That's what it sounds like.
Do, 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 do.
Kind of sounds like some off Star Wars, doesn't it? Like the Death March, okay?
Do, do, do.
That's, it's a very actually common phrasing that we have. So that's what it looks like when it's counted out. Okay, so I want you to turn your books to 882. So do you remember what that sounded like?
Do, do, do,
that rhythm.
No tears in, no tears in.
That's what the first three notes. Look at the rhythm with me. Look at the rhythm. Eighth note, quarter note, eighth note.
No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness. When we shall join that happy band. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. Sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears, no tears up there. No tears in heaven will be known.
Almost every beginning of every phrase in this song starts with that rhythmic pattern.
Do, do, do.
Almost every one of them. So very common to us, okay? But if you have trouble with that, count out. We're just counting two beats here, okay? Can't keep this thing on. One and two and. Do, do, do. So we're singing on one, and then we stop, and we're singing on half, two, and half. Do, do, do. The second one gets two claps. If we're doing four claps, the first one gets one, the second one gets two, the third one gets one. Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Okay? That's the easiest way that I have learned to figure out the rhythm is to do it one measure at a time. Okay? Rather than get overwhelmed and go, wow, this is a long song, I'll never figure out the rhythm. Start with a little bit, just learn a little bit. Once you get that down, move to the next measure. Okay? A lot of people don't have to do that. I do. It's easier for me to learn that way, learn a little at a time. Okay, so let's talk about dotted notes. And we're not going to get really complicated with dotted notes tonight, but I want to at least introduce the concept of dotted notes. So we've got a quarter note, a half note, a whole note, an eighth note, and a sixteenth notes. And sometimes those notes have a little small dot just to the right of them. Now, dotted sixteenths, not in our songbooks, and thank goodness, because they'd be really complicated to count out. We do, however, have a lot of dotted eighths and a lot of dotted quarter notes, and the dotted half notes are actually really simple, okay? What a dot means is we're going to add half of the value of the note back to itself. So, if it's quarter note, half it. Now we got a half note. Now add that back to the quarter note. Got it? One plus half of one is what? One and a half. Okay? So if we've got a half note, that is two beats, right? So we're going to half that. What is that? One. What's two plus one? Three. Okay, very simple math. Half note, half of a half is what? A quarter. So we add a quarter back to the half, and now we got three quarters of a beat. Okay, so that's what a dot does. It tells us we're going to add only half of the value of that note to that beat. So when we got a dotted half, that's actually very easy to read because it just means we're going to hold that note out for three beats, which holding a note is really easy. It's when you have a whole bunch that are choppy and put together that make it a little difficult. Don't turn to 402 in your books. This is 402 from a different book. I just didn't want to change the slide. But we're going to do the song here in a minute off the PowerPoint. And I don't necessarily like doing songs off the PowerPoint, but we are for copyright reasons because I've got the rights to the PowerPoint and I don't to the song. So we're going to actually do it off the PowerPoint tonight. But I want to show you what some of this sounds like. And this has sort of a bouncy rhythm to it, okay? Very consistent. We're going dotted eighth, dotted eighth, eighth. Dotted eighth, dotted eighth, eighth. Dotted eighth, dotted eighth, eighth. We stick all the way with that pattern until we get right here, okay? So it sounds like this. It goes bum, 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 okay? Now, some of you probably know the song. You may not have recognized it yet, but you know the song. It's a song called Days of Elijah. Anybody know the song Days of Elijah? Somebody please? Good. Not singing a solo tonight. That's good. Okay, so that's how the rhythmic pattern to this song goes. And I've heard a lot of different a cappella versions of this song. I don't know if they're reading a different hymn or a different rhythm. But whatever you've heard on the radio, if that's where you learn this song, forget about that. Because we're not going to learn that. We're going to learn the way that it's written tonight for rhythm teaching purposes, okay? So the first line of the song has that exact deal. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. So if you've heard that on the radio, you went, you didn't sing that right, okay? So let's look at the rhythm here for just a moment. So we still have that bum, 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 bum. And then we've got this, which on the radio they sing it like this, of your servant Moses. Well, that's not what's written here. We've got a dotted eighth and an eighth, and then we got an eighth rest, which is very quick. So we're actually singing three quarters of a note to begin, and then we're singing a half note, which means now we're on beat, one and a quarter. Don't get confused. But it sounds like this. These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. So it's a lot choppier and a lot quicker, but this song has a lot of energy to it. Okay? And then we're keeping that same rhythmic pattern through this section. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying. See, now that time, it was a lot longer, wasn't it? Up here, of your servant Moses, because we got a dotted eighth and an eighth, a rest, a dotted eighth and an eighth, and a quarter note. But over here, where am I at? There we go. Still we are the voice in the desert crying. So that one actually holds out for an entire beat. Rather than having the three-quarter beat there, you've got a whole beat, and there's no rest between crying and prepare. So that's the reason they shorten that phrase, is so we'd have that dramatic pause in the song. And if we miss the dramatic pause, well, guess what? We miss the drama. And sometimes we want to miss drama, but in this case, we want the drama because the song was written with a little bit of drama and buildup. So we're going to sing this song, starting with here. And I don't know how this is going to work because I'm going to try to beat time and sing and flip the slides. So this may be a total train wreck, but I'll try to focus more on switching the slides than on everything else. Okay. So mi, so mi, do mi so. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord.
And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Now I want to stop you right there, because I pitched that so high that we're not going to be able to sing the chorus. So we're going to go back and drop it a little bit. And if you are interested, and you at your home congregation have this song in your book, and it's that blue book or whatever color it is, Songs for Worship and Praise, it is notated like this. So just in case you're wondering about that. Okay. So me, know me so. I got to look at the chorus and see where that's at. So do me, so me, do so. So. That's a little better. So, these are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, preparing a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the womb. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Okay, y'all pick up songs very quickly. If y'all didn't know that and just sang it, I'm impressed, because y'all have got very good ears. I can hear that. This song is one of those songs that's a little bit more bouncy than what we're accustomed to. And that, I don't know how else to describe that. The rhythm is just bouncy. But we do have songs, older songs, that have what I would call a lot of bounce to them. We just don't always recognize the fact that they're bouncy because we don't always observe the dotted notes. And again, I'm not griping about that. If that happens and we're all singing in unison, it's not necessarily a scriptural issue or even an issue if we sang it wrong necessarily. But sometimes the fact that it has the dotted eighth notes actually adds a lot of energy and adds a lot of tension to the music. And it sounds more energetic. And you could sing the song at the exact same tempo and not observe the dotted notes, and it sounds like a completely different song just because of that. Okay, so we're going to end tonight by talking about musical signs and expressions. And we're not going to talk about all of them, but we are going to talk about a few. These are the key to the roadmap, okay? Some of you are going, I don't even know what a key is. But every map has what's called a key on it. And inside the key, it has all the symbols. And it tells you whenever you look at the map, you know, maybe there's something, there's a road that's red, and you don't know what that means. Well, you look at the key and you go, okay, that's what the red line means. That's what the blue line means. That's what the dotted line means, such and such, okay? So this is the key to our musical roadmap. And these signs and expressions are going to tell us where to go and how to get there, okay? Think of them as the speed limit. So what we've got here at the very top is what looks like a less than sign, okay? And this actually is not a less than sign. It's not less than anything. It's a crescendo. And what it means is we're going to start quietly, and over time, we're going to build the volume, okay? That's what a crescendo looks like. Start quietly and build the volume to a louder volume. A decrescendo is the exact opposite. We're going to start loudly, and we're just going to gradually get softer and softer. So, showing my age again. There was an old song, I think it was called Twist and Shout. Maybe it's Twist and Shout. Maybe it's a different song, but I remember the part that goes, a little bit softer now, a little bit softer now, a little bit softer now, a little bit louder now, and they just keep going up and down. That's what they're doing. They're doing crescendo and decrescendo. And so if you look at the piece of music, that's what you're going to see, is you're going to see this sign. That's a volume marker is what that is. And sometimes the volume markers make a great deal of difference in how we sing a song. Then we've got this symbol right here that's called del segno, which is marked by a DS, okay? This happens all the time in our songbooks. So let me find a song. Wait a minute. There we go. Okay. 764. We'll sing this song in a moment. Let me see if this is the right one I've got for the del segno. Maybe the next song I've got for the del segno, but we'll find out. It was the next song. Okay. Disregard that. 474. Okay. 474. Okay, have y'all ever sung this song? Very good. Okay, so this has a lot of roadmap. This particular song has a lot of different directions on where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to get there. So what I want you to notice just for the moment is toward the end of the song in bracket number 3. Okay, do you see that bracket up at the top of the second page of the song? There's a bracket, which is a line that goes up and a line that's perpendicular to it. There's a 3. Inside of there is a DS. Okay, that's del segno, which means go to the sign. Okay, what's the sign? It's the segno. See that segno right there? It's kind of a slanted S shape with a cross, a line going through it, and then 2 dots. Okay, as far as I know, they don't change that shape in this songbook. That's what the del segno always looks like, okay? So what you have to do is go find the del segno now, because if it says go to the segno or del segno, now you got to go find the segno. The segno is right over here on the first page in the middle of the page. There's the segno. So when we get through the third verse and we get through this bracket number 3, we're going to go back to the segno, which is right there at the first of what we'd probably call the refrain, okay? So, if we look at the roadmap of this song, there's brackets and there's cymbals. So we'd sing verse 1. When you get done with verse 1, look at your songbook. There's a 1 dot comma bracket inside the brackets. Do you see that? Does everybody see the 1 dot comma inside the bracket? Okay, that means that's the first ending. Okay, then we're going to go to verse 2. And we're going to go down, and you're going to see a 2 dot inside that same bracket. That means this is the second ending. So the first ending and the second ending are exactly the same. Okay? Ending at the same spot. Where do we go after that? Third verse. So we go to verse 3. And this time, we're not going to end at this bracket. We're going to end in this bracket. So the question is, where do we go? where do we go into the bracket, okay? We go into the bracket where the first and second bracket started. So we don't sing that section inside of where it says 1 and 2. We're going to jump across the page from the word 4 over to saving my soul. And the only difference is we have this part that goes, hallelujah. That's it. That's the difference between bracket 1 and bracket 2. And there's that hallelujah, and then we're going to DS, which means go back to the segno, which is the refrain. So we sing the chorus one more time, and now we're going to end with saving my soul. Okay? So, y'all got that? Verse 1, end in bracket 1. Verse 2, end in bracket 2. Verse 3, jump over to bracket 3 and sing the end of bracket 3 and go right back to the chorus. That's the direction of the song. That's a roadmap, okay? That tells us how to sing the song. We're going to do this a few times this week because, to me, this is the hardest part of reading the roadmap. Is we can learn all the notes and the rhythm, but if we don't understand where all the road signs are and the detours are, then we don't know how to get there. And so everybody gets confused and they're going, where did he go? What just happened? And then they're scrambling because they're looking for where they're supposed to be. So sometimes it might be helpful in a more complicated song like this to go, okay, here's how the song goes. And then just explain how the song goes. We sing verse 1, then we sing verse 2, and then we sing verse 3. We don't end down here, but we go over here and such on, okay? Let everybody know what the roadmap is. That way we can stay together once we do it. And we'll sing this song in just a moment. Okay, there's another symbol that's in our songs, which is called the coda. The coda looks like a crosshair inside of a rifle scope, okay? And the coda section is just a section that is only to be sung at the end of a piece of music. So, Thomas song. Does somebody know what number Thomas song is? Do y'all know that song? I think it's 259 or 269, okay. That was close. But this isn't hand grenades and horseshoes, is it? Okay, so Thomas song. Here we got another roadmap. Okay, let's look at the roadmap of this song. So we've got brackets once again, which are going to tell us where to end verses and which verses are with which ending, okay? So this one's a little bit more confusing in that we have a 1 and a 3 inside one bracket and a 2 and a 4 inside another bracket. So what this is telling us is on verse 1, we're going to end right here. Then when we get to verse 2, we're going to end over here. Now, the reason they did that is because verse 1 is going to jump back to the first of the song. But verse 2 is going to lead us right into the chorus. So we're at the end of verse 1, we're actually going to have a note that gets held out, which is a 3 count. And then we're going to come back and start on the fourth beat when we start the second verse. When we sing through the second verse, though, and we go to the second bracket, we're going to hold that note out for 3 beats, and then we're going to go up into the chorus, okay, and start the chorus. So how do we know that we go back to verse 2 after 1? Okay, there's what's called a repeat sign, okay? It looks like this right here. And it doesn't look like this whole sign. They're just going to be one or the other. It's either going to face right or face left. Now, these are like bookends, okay? Think of them as bookends. And this repeat sign right here means that's the end of the phrase, and now we're going to repeat. We're going to go back and find the other bookend, and then that's where we're going to repeat to. However, in this song, there is no other bookend. So if you look back and you try to find the bookend, which happens all the time, it's telling you we're going all the way back to the beginning of the song. That's what it means. Repeat from the beginning, okay? So we learned about from the beginning last night, decapo or decapo, but in this instance, it's just telling us repeat this, go back to the first and repeat what? Repeat this, do the second verse, okay? So we're going verses 1 and 2 and the chorus. And there's a top line of the chorus. And then when we go verse 3, we go repeat again because it's in bracket 3 where the repeat sign is. Then we sing verse 4. We go through verse 4, and we go to that second bracket where the 2 and the 4 are. But this time, we're seeing the bottom line. And you say, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, it's because the bottom verses are on the bottom section of the music. Otherwise, you wouldn't know that. But I'll tell you why they do this, okay? You might think, well, why don't they just not do brackets and just do the whole song? Because it would be stretched across 5 pages. That's why. And so a lot of times, to shorten or condense a piece of music, rather than just extend the entire score and have to write the whole score of the music and do all of the staffs over and over and over, they put brackets and signs and symbols so we know where to go. And I will tell you, it'd be more of a headache for us to be flipping the pages of a song than it would to be learning the roadmap. Because that gets real clunky, especially if you're a song leader. You don't want to be turning pages, okay? And we're going to sing a song tomorrow night where we're going to have to do that. But luckily, there's only one song in this book that makes you actually turn the page. Then we got Da Capo, or Da Capo is actually how you're supposed to say it. But I say Da Capo, so you remember it's to the head, okay? Which is the beginning of the song. So let's go back to 474. 474. All right, so once again, verse 1, we go down to the end of the refrain on the first page. Verse 2, we go down to the end of the refrain on the first page. On verse 3, we go down to where the bracket is on 1 and 2, and then we're jumping across the page to bracket 3. So we disregard that little measure of music right there that says Saving My Soul on the first page, and we're not going to sing that. We're going to jump over to the second page and sing bracket 3 on the third verse. Then after the hallelujah, we're going to go back to the segno, or the refrain, and sing for the refrain. So 1, 2, 3, repeat the chorus, okay? When you put it like that, it's real simple, right? 1, 2, 3, repeat the chorus. And we are going to keep this very, very lively. No, so me, no me, so do. Do, fa, do, no. No, so me, no. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite and sing to praise Him all day long. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will in me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Okay, now, I didn't just pick this song because it had all the brackets and other stuff. There's also some rhythmic changes that aren't really rhythmic changes. They're actually word syllable changes, okay? So, let's look at the first verse for just a moment where it says, thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. So it goes, thank you, Lord, for loving me, and there's no and, right? So what do? You just draw up to that next note. In the other one, there's actually a word there. There's the word sing in verse 2. So let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. So sometimes when they have more words or less words, you're actually just going to carry that word to the next. So what you've got here, if you look at your notes, let's just look at the first two for a moment. Notice that you've got these lines that connect three different notes. Do you see that? There's a line that connects the first three notes. And that means we're going to sing those fluidly, okay? Rather than be chop, 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 there you go, together. But there's also a change in rhythm. So the first one only has one bar on top. And then on the words you and Lord, so thank you, Lord, there's two bars on top. So we've got an eighth note and then two 16th notes. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. See? And they're fluid. The reason they do those fluid movements is because when they're going to have a change in words, where it's actually not going to have that many words, and you're just going to have one word, then you have to know that you're going to take the pitch on the end of that word, and you're going to move through the notes with that same word. You don't ever change the word. So, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And so instead of having a word there, you're just taking the word me and going from that law to that do. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Okay? So then you get on the second verse, and you've actually got words in places where there wasn't words in the first verse. And you've got a lack of words where there were words on the first verse as well. So on the second verse, it goes, let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ the Lord. Let us all unite in song to praise him all day long. So that's the reason why you've got all these connecting bars between the notes, if that makes sense, to connect those notes and make them more fluid, if you will. Okay. So we're going to sing one more song tonight before we end. 764. And I do apologize. I just noticed we're running a little bit long tonight. Okay. So here's another variable in the roadmap. There's no verse one. There's no verse two. There's no numbers, okay? And there's no brackets. So what do we do on this song? We have to look. Now, there is a bracket. There's a different word for that bracket that I can't think of the name of. But look at the words, the first words of the song. On the top line and on the bottom line, there's a connecting bracket that looks like this. See that? Looks like this. What that's telling us is that that's verse 1 and verse 2. There's several songs like that. They don't put one and two. They put brackets. Why? Who knows? Maybe for copyright reasons. I don't know. Could have been. But instead of putting one and two, they put brackets there, which means this is verse 1 and 2. Okay? So let's go all the way through verse 1. We go through line 1, line 2, line 3, line 4, and right at the end of the fourth line of the first verse, there is a symbol. That is that first bookend that is the repeat symbol. Do you see the repeat symbol? Okay. It's a thick line with a thinner line and two dots. Okay. Looks like a colon. So that's your repeat symbol. Okay. There's not another bookend anywhere between there and the first of the song. So what's that tell us? After we finish verse 1, we go back to the first of the song. And then if you look after that, it says refrain after second verse only, okay? So, we're not going to repeat the second verse. We're going to sing the first verse and repeat from the top and sing the second verse. And the only time we sing the refrain is after the second verse. So that's our roadmap of this song. It's not a very complicated roadmap. And there's one more thing to introduce to you that we're not going to talk a great deal about tonight. And that is what's called a fermata, or as we call it in the South, a bird's eye. And they're out at the end of the song, you'll see this archway that looks like this, and then a dot right in the center, okay? That's what's called a bird's eye or a fermata, which means that note will be held out to the leader's discretion. In other words, if you look at the note, the first note that has a fermata there, it is an eighth note and then a 16th note after that. But I could hold it out for 3 beats. I could hold it out for 12 beats. Actually, I couldn't. I'd run out of air. But I'm the song leader, so I choose how long to hold that out. That's what a fermata is, okay? So if I'm beating the time of the song and I get to that last measure of the song, Teach me, Lord, teach. I'm not going to keep beating. I'm going to hold that note out. Me, Lord, to wait. Okay? So if you're beating time and you come to a bird's eye and you want to hold out a note, well, don't confuse people by keep beating the time. Hold that note out. Hold your hand up. Hold it out. Do this. Do something to indicate we're holding the note out. How long are we holding the note out? Till that hand gets moving again. Okay? So, all right, let's try the song. Have you all sung this before? Excellent.
So, do mi, so, do so mi, do so.
Okay, real quick. The song starts not on beat one, but on beat three. Okay, this is 3/4 time, so we're going 1, 2, 3, okay? We've got a dotted eighth, which is 3/4 of a beat, and a quarter of a beat, which is a 16th note. So that's beat 3. So where's the hand going when we start the song? And this is important for you song leaders. We're going up, okay? So teach me. We're not going teach me because you're already off. So pay attention to where the song starts, what beat the song starts on. Now, why in the world would they start on that beat? Well, go down toward the end of the where the repeat sign is, and look at the last measure where the repeat sign is, and how many beats are in that measure? Just 2. Why? Because we're starting on beat 3. We're not going to end the song by going, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. We're not going to do that. We're going to go 2 beats and then start verse 2. They did that so the song would be seamless. Because we're ending with 2 and we're starting back on 3, okay? So don't hold that note out more than 2. We're going to start right back on 3, okay?
So, teach me, Lord, to wait right down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Let me humble my pride and call on your name. Teach my faith, renewed my eyes on thee. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall fall and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Okay, let's talk about something real quick before we close. Did that rhythm seem different? Slightly different? Okay, here's why. And this is why I picked this song. Let's look at some of the dotted intervals in this, okay? We've got a lot of these dotted eighths and sixteenths, which has a short hold and a quick transition, okay? That, think of it that way, a short hold and a quick transition. So we start the song out with that transition.
Teach me, Lord, to wait right down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my plea.
It's real quick. See those little short transitions between that dotted eighth from a 16th into the next note. So that's why it sounds different. Also notice that on right, the word right. I notice we're dragging a little bit on that one, okay? Or actually, we're trying to get ahead of ourselves is what we're trying to do. And seeing it like a quarter note. So we're going, teach me, Lord, to wait right down on. But that's an eighth note. So it's going like this. Teach me, Lord, to wait right down on my knees. You hear the difference? Okay? So that's a little bit difference. It doesn't change everything, but it does change the flow of the song, okay? All right, so we're going to end there tonight. I've kept y'all long enough tonight, but y'all get a break tomorrow. Well, I say you get a break. I'm preaching tomorrow, but you do get a break from singing instruction. But what I want to do is give you some homework, okay? You say, oh, no, not homework. Yeah, do some homework. Go home and practice the shape notes, okay? Because, Lord willing, Thursday night, we're going to start doing what's called some chord building, okay? And it's not going to be very difficult, but we're going to sing four parts of harmony and do some chord building, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun. But that's your homework. Go home and practice the shape notes. Again, if you forgot how to do that on a piano, come talk to me after services, and I'll try to remind you of that. Again, we will have some printouts. Most of the information, and I say most because I haven't looked yet to make sure all of it's there, but most of the information that we presented this week will be in a printable format at the end of the week. Because again, repetition is key on this. Okay. Let's close with the word of prayer. Brother Barry, would you lead us?